learning how to write a really good play is a lifetime's work.
The most widely reported gay story in U.S. media this week was the outing of the star of an international television show.
Uh-oh.
I am standing on the bones of a man too high to climb.
Somehow I feel I should apologize.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell.
And I'm Greg Gordon. Thailand proposes civil unions for same-gender couples.
A severed gay Japanese widower sues his sister outlaw.
And we Oscar more radio heroes.
Those stories and more this week as we sound last call for our month-long 30th anniversary party for This Way Out.
I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Carol Myers.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending April 28, 2018. The Rights and Liberties Protection Subcommittee of Thailand's Justice Ministry announced this week that it's drafting a bill to create civil partnerships for lesbian and gay couples to be presented to the cabinet sometime in May for approval. It's not yet clear if all the rights of heterosexual marriage will be given to same-gender civil partners. Nevertheless, Liu An Vu, coordinator of the Asian region of the Global Queer Rights Group, best known by the acronym ILGA, told the London Independent newspaper that any legal recognition would be an important milestone from the government towards equal recognition in the future. It's not the first time that the Thai government has proposed a marriage equality-like bill, but all previous attempts have been unsuccessful. The last effort was interrupted by a military coup in 2014. Vu said the current effort will also promote understanding and acceptance of same-sex couples and of the wider rainbow families community. Thailand is viewed these days as one of the more progressive countries in Asia. Lawmakers there approved a measure in 2015 to protect LGBTI people from discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. Insiders say the Civil Partnerships Bill should be enacted before the next general election, which is scheduled for February 2019. It's now a race between Thailand's pending civil partnerships and the advent of marriage equality in Taiwan to see which is the first in Asia to legally recognize gay and lesbian couples. Taiwan's High Court ordered lawmakers to open civil marriage to their same-gender couples no later than May 2019.
A Japanese gay man who was denied the right to attend the cremation of his partner of 47 years and lost their shared property to the late partner's sister, including their business, sued her this week. The lawsuit, filed at the Osaka District Court, seeks the restoration of all the assets jointly owned by the man and his partner, and an additional sum equivalent to about $64,000 in damages. The unidentified man's lawsuit claims that his partner's sister knew they lived together since 1971, mostly from the money the plaintiff made through his work. The plaintiff further asserts that he had attended weddings and other ceremonial events of his partner's relatives. But that meant nothing after his partner died at the age of 75. In addition to denying him the right to attend his partner's cremation, the sister only allowed him to attend the funeral as a visitor rather than as a family member. Japan's top court has thus far refused to recognize the inheritance rights of same-gender couples or even of common-law heterosexual marriages, so the lawsuit is clearly going to be an uphill battle. The man's lawyer offered a simple solution. He told the Kyoto News Service that if a same-sex marriage system is established, it would not only ensure the rights of partners but also help resolve irrational discrimination. Japan's federal government has steadfastly refused to consider marriage equality or any form of legal recognition for gay and lesbian couples.
Marriage equality and other queer rights issues have been hot topics during recent election campaigns in a number of countries. Both major candidates in Paraguay's just-concluded presidential election opposed marriage equality and the legalization of abortion. Mario Abdo Benitez of the ruling Colorado Party The farther right of the two choices in what's considered one of the most conservative countries in Latin America was elected on April 22nd.
One of the candidates in a snap presidential election called for May 20th in Venezuela is an evangelical pastor. On the campaign trail, Javier Bertucci has been stumping for a public vote on marriage equality. He, of course, is strongly opposed to it. Meanwhile, one of the country's leading queer advocacy groups, Venezuela Igualitaria, predicts successful outcomes of two marriage equality lawsuits that are in their final stages in the constitutional chamber of the Supreme Tribunal of Justice.
A marriage equality bill is pending in Chile's Congress. There's reportedly majority support in both houses, but recently inaugurated President Sebastián Piñera has been far from supportive. Chile is bound by the January 2018 Inter-American Court of Human Rights Marriage Equality ruling, which created binding precedent for 16 nations in the region without it that are signatories to the American Convention on Human Rights.
Lebanon's center-right Christian Democratic Union is calling for the decriminalization of same-gender sex as part of their campaign leading up to Election Day on May 6th. Party officials stressed when their 131-page platform was rolled out in mid-March that decriminalization was a crucial part of their social agenda.
And Rahul Gandhi of India's opposition National Congress Party vowed this week to finally dump the country's infamous Penal Code Section 377, a remnant of British colonial-era rule that outlaws consensual adult gay sex if his party comes to power. Meanwhile, the country's Supreme Court asked the current government for its views on Section 377 as justices prepare to hear a legal challenge to its constitutionality by high-profile 33-year-old hotel owner Keshav Suri. Prime Minister Narendra Modi's administration has consistently pushed back on attempts to overturn the law in Parliament, where there's said to now be majority support for repeal. After a roller coaster ride over the past few years of having the statute struck down, only to be resurrected on appeal, equality activists are hoping that a recent ruling by the Supreme Court establishing the right to privacy, with one justice in particular citing private consensual adult gay sex as an example, will grease the wheels for the final repeal of Section 377.
Indonesia's queer community can take a little time to breathe, as a bill to outlaw all sex outside of heterosexual marriage, which would include premarital heterosexual sex, as well as consensual adult same-gender sex, was put on hold this week for another 2 to 3 months, according to a lawmaker from the ruling National Democratic Party. Consideration of the proposal, which was introduced in February, has been delayed, he said, to give the public time to provide feedback on the bill to us. All 10 parties represented in the Indonesian House are on record in support of the measure. Opponents may have to turn to the nation's Supreme Court if the bill ever becomes law. That court struck down legislation to criminalize consensual adult same-gender sex in 2016.
The administration of U.S. President Donald Trump continues to tear down as many progressive policies enacted by Barack Obama as it can. The latest assault came this week with the announcement that rules established by the former president's administration to protect transgender people from discrimination in health care are being scrapped. Under a new policy, reportedly drafted by the Department of Health and Human Services, doctors, hospitals, and health insurance companies would be free to deny treatment or coverage to a person based on their gender identity. The original protections were part of the Affordable Care Act. They banned healthcare providers from discrimination based on gender identity and prevented healthcare insurers from putting arbitrary limits on trans healthcare. The real-world benefits of those provisions included making it much easier for trans people to access gender confirmation surgeries that had previously cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. A federal judge in Texas previously blocked the trans-specific protections in a challenge by a group of medical professionals, ruling that the act's ban on bias based on sex did not extend to gender identity. Trump intends to resolve the issue by dumping the contested provisions altogether.
And finally, one partner in a same-gender civil union in Italy that wants children through artificial insemination must claim to have conceived the baby through heterosexual sexual intercourse in order to be registered as the baby's legal parent. Because artificial insemination and surrogacy are illegal in Italy, infertile heterosexual couples that use either service must also lie on government forms in order to be registered as the baby's legal parents. As an article in the Daily Beast noted this week, only the biologically linked parent has the right to be listed as the child's parent under Italian law. If there is no biological link to either parent, registering the child in Italy is impossible because same-gender couples and single people cannot adopt. The online site used the case of a gay male couple from Rome to illustrate the absurdity of the situation. They married in Canada in 2009 and have three children, twins and a daughter, all born through a surrogate in Canada. Both men's names are on all three birth certificates there. But when they returned to Italy, only one of them could register as the official parent of the twins and the other as the official parent of the daughter. Queer activists placed the blame squarely at the foot of the politically powerful Roman Catholic Church, which has erected as many obstacles as it can to the happiness of Italy's queer families.
That's NewsWrap, Global Queer News with Attitude, for the week ending April 28, 2018. Written by Greg Gordon, produced with Brian DeShazer, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at the newly renovated thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Carol Myers.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
This Way Out's 30th anniversary celebration has been a time to get together with old friends and make some new ones.
Earlier in the month, we heard greetings from a few of the amazing volunteer feature producers who have told the stories and entertained the guests over the years.
We're speechless without them. There are many people who have filled our weekly 29 minutes with fascinating gems to send around the world to you.
Let's renew our acquaintance and honor the fine work of just a few more of them.
This is Brian Goble, and I contributed features to This Way Out for many years. And one of my favorite interviews was with the playwright Tony Kushner, a writer I really admire and look up to. It actually took me a really long time to land the interview, but he finally agreed. And in 2008, I flew to New York City. It was my first time in New York. And I was a nervous wreck, but he was a very gracious host. He had a stack of books about Lincoln on his desk because he was writing a film for Steven Spielberg at the time. And it was an incredible interview, and as I was leaving, his last words to me were, "Enjoy the city," and boy, did I enjoy New York City.
Greetings, prophets! The great work begins! The messenger has arrived!
Tony Kushner's masterpiece, Angels in America, a gay fantasia on national themes, thrust him onto the international stage in the early 90s as one of the major playwrights of his generation. The seven-hour epic, in two parts, is a politically and emotionally fused portrait of gay life in the 80s under Ronald Reagan. It won Kushner a Pulitzer Prize and was made into a film directed by Mike Nichols in 2003.
If people like you didn't have President Reagan to demonize, where would you be?
If he didn't have people like me to demonize, where would he be?
I visited Kushner at his tiny Manhattan office.
Anything that's worth doing is hard to do. And I think that it seems to me, at any rate, that learning how to write a really good play is a lifetime's work. And, to do something well is great, but to do something better after that and to keep improving would seem to me to be the goal of the thing. You don't want to just have done it well once. You really would like to be, you know, to have a career in a way like O'Neill's, where he, you know, got better and better and better and better until he wrote his greatest play and the greatest play any American ever wrote at the end of his life. I would like to believe that at the end of my life I'll be able to say, well, I kept trying to figure out how to write plays and get better at them.
Tony Kushner, thank you.
Sure, my pleasure.
For This Way Out, I'm Brian Goble in New York.
You are fabulous, each and every one. And I bless you. More life. The great work begins.
The history of the Rainbow Minute, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. On February 9, 2005, Richmond gay activist Judd Proctor just happened to tune in to the new community radio station WRIR. He was delighted to discover This Way Out, a gay and lesbian news magazine in Richmond of all places. He immediately called the station to offer his support. Judd and his partner Brian Burns decided to underwrite This Way Out and had the board operator read a 30-second blurb honoring a gay or lesbian icon in history. The first was about Harvey Milk, who stressed the importance of coming out. It was read live on the air by Dustin Richardson on February 16, 2005. Blurbs remembering architect Philip Johnson and lesbian activist Barbara Giddings followed. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Sally Holscreve.
Who made This Way Out sing? Our queer music maestros take up the baton again in honor of their fallen friend. But first...
This Way Out would have been nearly impossible without the rock-solid journalism of the late Cindy Friedman, our news director for more than two decades.
Her skills as a news hound were without peer, but what we missed most about Cindy Friedman is her often wicked sense of humor. Here's an example from February 1999 with Cindy and co-anchor Leo Garcia.
Tinky-winky, tinky-winky, tinky-winky.
The most widely reported gay story in U.S. media this week was the outing of the star of an international television show, which has spun off a marketing empire of best-selling videos, audio recordings, and other items. Former leader of the now-defunct Moral Majority, Jerry Falwell, has published in his National Liberty Journal this parent alert.
The sexual preference of Tinky Winky, the largest of the four Teletubbies characters on the series that airs in America on PBS stations, has been the subject of debate since the series premiered in England in 1997. The character, whose voice is obviously that of a boy, has been found carrying a purse in many episodes.
Teletubbies producers insist that the so-called purse is in fact a magic bag. Here to speak for himself is...
Tinky Winky!
Mr. Winky, would you care to comment?
Now, further evidence that the creators of the series intend for Tinky Winky to be a gay role model have surfaced. He is purple, the gay pride color, and his antenna is shaped like a triangle, the gay pride symbol.
In our reviews of some 40 mainstream press reports and columns, Falwell has been universally ridiculed. Falwell has been universally ridiculed. After 2 days of media assault, Falwell told NBC that he didn't really mean that you are gay, but that if you are, he is concerned. There are also those who maintain that, as a Teletubby, you are only vaguely human and cannot be considered to have gender attributes at all, much less a sexual orientation. Mr. Winky, I must ask you the question that has so obsessed America this week. Are you gay?
Big hug.
Bye. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman with Leo Garcia.
To be gay, sing if you're happy that way.
Welcome back to the Audiophile 2010 Year in Review. I'm Pam Marshall.
I'm Christopher David Trentum.
I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle.
That's from the final edition of the 14-year run of Audiophile on This Way Out in December of 2010. Our monthly queer music segment brought dozens of fabulously talented outperformers to the attention of This Way Out listeners worldwide.
We asked audiophilers J.D. Doyle in Houston and Chris Wilson and Pam Marshall in Los Angeles to reflect on their longtime collaboration. They each also wanted to pay tribute to a beloved colleague and This Way Out benefactor.
What few of the listeners realized, and what made working on Audiophile both interesting and challenging, is that, no, we did not record the show at the same time or even in the same studio.
Everything became possible with a traveling laptop and sound equipment. But how did we create the proper acoustic in-studio environment at home? For the better part of our 14 years on the air, Audiophile was, in fact, recorded in the closet.
It still kind of amazes me.
By the way, all of our shows are still available on the internet at audiophile.org. Just click on Audiophile Archives, which is maintained with a searchable index by J.D. Doyle.
The producers of This Way Out asked Chris and I to each pick a favorite artist segment out of those we did. Well, that's a little like picking among your children, as over the 14-year period, we featured 424 different recordings by 325 different artists. But we did each manage to come up with just one.
Each of these artists was featured three times during the Audiophile run, so yes, we really like them. They are Janis Ian and Levi Kreis. Janis, of course, has been an important artist since the 1960s, and Levi won a Tony Award in 2010 for the musical Million Dollar Quartet. These segments originally ran in 2004 and 2006.
I am standing on the bones of a mountain to hide and climb.
You know, artists, when we're doing our job, we get to take people's dreams and make something visible out of them. And then when people forget that they have dreams and everything looks really dark and horrible, we get to remind you that they exist, and that's a serious privilege for us, you know? I feel like I stand on a lot of people's bones every time I get up on stage, the bones of people like Billie Holiday who do that for me and continue to do it for me.
Somehow I feel I should apologize, 'cause I'm just a little shaken, but what's going on inside?
The second album by Levi Kreis is called One of the Ones.
It's a collection of songs about relationships that I've been in with various guys that I've crushed on or dated or loved with all my heart. I chose to keep it very intimate, the piano and the vocals, and hoping that the human experience that I've gone through is kind of relatable for everyone.
Lovely.
I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm Pam Marshall, remembering Christopher David Trentum.
Or as we always called him, CDT.
He taught us to edit audio tape with a razor blade and keen listening skills.
He engineered many, many radio features for us, including Audiophile, eventually moving us into the 21st century with digital editing and production.
This is J.D. Doyle, and paying tribute to CDT is especially important to me. When I was invited to join Audiophile, I was fairly new at my own radio show, and what he taught me about the engineering and production part of it was invaluable and jump-started my own work. He was a picky perfectionist, and I'm sure right now he would be fussing at me for popping my peas. At times, he could be exasperating, but somehow was always right. And I am the better for knowing him.
But beyond that, he became part of our extended family, joining us for the holidays.
As well as for Pam's home-cooked meals following each Audiophile recording session.
CDT was one of the most genuinely decent people I have ever known.
And although you rarely heard him on the air, Audiophile's 14-year run would not have been possible without him.
We miss him.
We certainly do. We keep up a tribute page at ChristopherDavidTrentum.com, where you can find out more about our good friend and co-producer, who love trains, and This Way Out. And that's it for the final edition of Audiophile. We would like to thank the literally hundreds of GLBT musicians for sharing their music with us for the past 14 years.
And special thanks to Greg Gordon and Lucia Chappelle for providing us the opportunity to present Audiophile here on This Way Out.
And of course, we would very much like to thank you, our listeners, for supporting us over the years.
I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson.
I'm Pam Marshall.
And I'm Christopher David Trentum.
Thank you for listening.
Sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy.
You've been listening to highlights from the work of some of This Way Out's volunteer producers over these last 30 years.
Bay Area news reporter Brian Goble is currently a bike courier, but he's just taken on a wonky research and policy job with the San Francisco Board of Supervisors.
Pam Marshall, Chris Wilson, and J.D. Doyle have all retired from radio, while their audiophile segments live on at J.D.'s QueerMusicHeritage.com website. Pam and Chris do lots of community work, including Pam on the board of their temple and Chris with bioethics organizations.
Meanwhile, J.D. has launched two huge websites honoring queer Texas history, HoustonLGBTHistory.org and TexasObituaryProject.org.
In addition to the feature producers, our NewsWrap volunteers have been and are a vital part of the This Way Out family.
We already paid tribute to longtime news director Cindy Friedman. Sandy Dwyer was the first to hold that position and gave birth to the saying, an informed community is a strong community.
It's news to me.
It's news to me.
There have been dozens of NewsWrap readers over the years. We thank them all with a shout-out to the current crew.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
I'm John Dyer V.
I'm Michelle Yater.
I'm Wenzel Jones.
I'm Sarah Sweeney.
I'm Christopher Gall.
I'm Frances O'Brien.
I'm Seth Eric Cutler.
I'm Carol Myers.
I'm Michael LeBeau.
I'm Jessica Andrea.
And I'm Monique Lukens.
And so our 30th anniversary party is winding down. Be sure to visit our brand spanking new website at thiswayout.org for pictures, video, and audio highlights from our month-long celebration,
including honorary presentations at the West Hollywood City Council and Founders Metropolitan Community Church.
To paraphrase what playwright Tony Kushner said to Brian Goble, we've kept trying to figure out how to do international LGBT radio and get better at it.
Here's to a future of queer media breaking the sound barrier.
And beyond. Happy anniversary. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Program material this week came from Michael LeBeau and Carol Myers, with thanks to Brian DeShazer. We celebrated the talents this week of longtime program contributors Brian Goble, Judd Proctor, and Brian Burns, this time with Sally Holzgrief, Cindy Friedman, and J.D. Doyle, Chris Wilson, Pam Marshall, and Christopher David Trentum. Triumph, Janice Ian, Levi Christ, and the Tom Robinson Band performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music.
This Way Out thanks to Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors who make this program possible. 30th anniversary greetings are still cheerfully accepted at the all-new thiswayout.org.
Look for This Way Out Radio on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, and Google+. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA.
I'm Greg Gordon.
And I'm Lucia Chappelle. For the entire This Way Out family, we thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org.
And on KAOS Olympia, Washington.
4CCR Cairns, Queensland.
WRPI Troy, New York.
And more than 200 other stations around the world,
including this community radio station.
Stay tuned.